So today, we're in a very interesting day. We're a very interesting Tecufa. In fact, the whole week is a very interesting Tecufa. Maybe I'll start off today telling you, quoting the first Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah. Arba Rosh Hashanah, there are four Rosh Hashanahs, Be'echad v'nissan Rosh Hashanah l'malachim l'regalim. The first Nissan is Rosh Hashanah l'malachim l'regalim. Be'echad be'elul is Rosh Hashanah l'maaser behema. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon omrim, Be'echad b'tishrei. Bechad b'tishrei Rosh Hashanah l'shanim. So we know Rosh Hashanah is the first of Tishrei is Rosh Hashanah l'shanim. The shmitin, the yovlot, and the tias, the yarakot, for plant, for yovel, for shmita, yovel, plantings and vegetables. And then what's negea for this week? Bechad b'shvat Rosh Hashanah l'ilan. The first of Shvat is Rosh Hashanah l'ilan. Kedivrei beis Shammai beis Hillel omrim bechamesh le'asar bil. That it's on the 15th of Shvat. So there's a machlokas beis Shammai beis Hillel. When is Rosh Hashanah l'ilan? Whether it is on Rosh Chodesh Shvat, which happened not last week but the week before, or whether it's on Tu B'Shvat, which is this week. First thing to think about: what's the word in the? Here's the question. Maybe some of you can unmute yourself a little bit here. What's the word in the Torah for tree? Dead silence. Okay, I'll give you the answer. It's eight. Right, you know it right from the beginning of Bereshit, right? There's the eight Sadas, eight Tovara. The word in the Torah for tree is eight. The word used here in the Mishnah is Ilan. Right? So throughout Tanakh, right, the word used for tree is eight. Anyone want to venture a guess how often the word Ilan appears in Tanakh? I'll tell you. Once. One time in Sefer Daniel. Right? The word Ilana also appears in Sefer Daniel a number of times in Perek Dalet. But the word Ilan only appears once. So the word for the tree in Torah is eight. Now we all know in Lashon HaKodesh, if you're using a different word, every word, they're not exactly interchangeable. There's a difference between the different words. Right. So what's eights and what's Ilan? There are a number of different explanations. In terms of what's eights itself, some would say it's related to the word atzum, meaning strong, or etzem as a bone because it's got the backbone and the tree. Ilan is something that's slightly different. So one explanation explaining the difference is that when Biblical Hebrew is using the word eitz, it means both a tree and wood. Came along with the Rabbanim, and they wanted to distinguish between a tree and wood. And they based it on the Aramaic, right? The Aramaic that appears in Sefer Daniel. They saw Ilan that appears once. And they used this one word, Ilan, to be a living tree. And eight, therefore, thereafter, in Lashon, the rabbinic Lashon is going to be wood rather than tree. If you think about it, there's a question that comes up there. Why? Because we say brachas, right? What does the Mishnah and brachas tell us? We're going to say a bracha on the peiros of Ilan, right? So you say a bracha on the peiros of Ilan, berei pri ha'eit. So the Rabbanon themselves say in the Mishnah, the bracha on the peiros of Ilan is berei pri ha'eit. So we see there that the Rabbanon, even though they used Ilan for tree, a living tree, when it came to actually making the bracha, they preferred to use the Lashon of the Torah, that it was from the eights. Okay, now, what's this idea, this machlokas, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, on the Peras at Ilan? On what's Tu B'Shvat, on when's Tu B'Shvat? Is Tu B'Shvat Rosh Chodesh, or is Tu B'Shvat going to be on... is the Rosh Chodesh Rosh Hashanah l'Ilan, is it going to be on Rosh Chodesh or is it going to be on Tu B'Shvat? Now, there's an interesting observation. If you read the Mishnah, if you read the whole Mishnah, how does it start? Arba Rosh Hashanim him. There are four Rosh Hashanahs, but Echad and Nisa Rosh Hashanah l'Malachim or l'Golim. And the entire way through the Mishnah, it's all in the plural. Bechad be'elu, Rosh Hashanah l'Maaser behema, Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon omrim, Bechad be'tishrei. Bechad be'tishrei, Rosh Hashanah l'Shanim, l'Shmitim, l'Yovlot, l'Netiyot, l'Yerakot, all plural. Comes along Shvat, Bechad b'Shvat, Rosh Hashanah l'Ilan, singular. K'divrei beis Shammai, also a bit strange, why k'divrei beis Shammai? And beis Hillel omrim b'chamesh le'asar bo, it's on the 15th. So, Ma'aser behema is singular, yes. Okay, nope, right. However, the majority are plural. So there's definitely a question here with Ilan. Why is Ilan singular? And also, just when you sit and think about it, right? You all know the song, right? Tu bishkata gia, chagha, right? Hagha Ilanot. Right, that's the way we refer to it. So why here is it referred to also in the singular? Simple pshat, the Gemara later on is going to come along and say, you know, hold on a second, why doesn't the Gemara, why doesn't the Mishnah mention the Rosh Hashanah L'Omer, or the Rosh Hashanah L'Shtei Alechem? And it concludes that the Mishnah mentions Arba Rosh Hashanim Shehem B'Rosh Chodesh, the four Rosh Hashanahs that they're in Rosh Chodesh. Hold on a second, so really there are three Rosh Hashanahs that they're in Rosh Chodesh according to Divrei HaKol, and the fourth is only in Rosh Chodesh according to Beis Shammai. That's why it's Kedivrei Beis Shammai. And Beis Hillel says it's on the 15th. So that's one understanding of it. That's just a simple pshat level. The Bnei Yisachar brings a much deeper understanding. He comes along and he says, you know what? It doesn't say Ilanot, it says Ilan, because it's talking about one specific tree. The one specific tree that it's talking about, and why it's mentioned singular, is because there's one mitzvah in the Torah that we use the Perus HaIlan, and that is the Esrog. So it's the Ilan is Meyuchad, it's the only one that's set aside for, this Ilan of the Esrog tree is the only one that's set aside for a mitzvah. And that's why there's a custom for people to daven for a good Esrog, you know, say the degrees cut, what Esrog are you going to get this year? That's all cut this coming Thursday on Tu B'Shvat. So what's so special about the Esrog? Yes, we're going to take it for a mitzvah. What else? There's a midrash that says, talking on the Pesukim that discuss the Arba Minim, L'chachten lechem b'yom rishon priyetz hadar. You should take for yourself on the first day, priyetz hadar. What does the midrash say? V'chi b'yom rishon hu? Is it yom rishon? Hala, yom tubav. Yom tuha, is yom tesvav hu, is the 15th. Why? Because Sukkot is on the 15th. 15th of Tishrei, that's when you take the Esrog. Ella, Rishon Lecheshbon Avonos. It's the Rishon Lecheshbon Avonos. It's the first day of the calculating of sins. Why? Because we've just come out of Yom Kippur. We were all matar ourselves in Yom Kippur. We've done tshuva, we come out clean. You then immediately osik b'mitzvahs. You're sitting and you're involved and running around and making the sukkah, acquiring the arba minim. So you're very involved then in mitzvahs. And the Rishon Lecheshbon Avonos comes on the first day of Sukkot. In which case the question comes, why say this midrash on the pre-Eitz Hadar, on the Esrog? Why not say it on the Mitzvah of Sukkah? Why not say it on the Etzim Yom Tov itself? Why say it on the Esrog? The answer to that is to go back and understand what the Esrog is and what the Esrog did. The Gemara and Sukkah, when it's discussing the Esrog, when it's discussing what's the pre-Eitz Hadar, L'kachten lechem pre-Eitz Hadar, it's going to discuss what's the pre-Eitz Hadar, and it says, it's the Eitz Shatam Eitzo Priyo Shave, that the taste of the fruit and the taste of the tree are the same. Why? When a Kodesh Baruch Hu created at the beginning of Bereshit, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, he gave a commandment in the forming of the trees. V'yomer Elokim tache ha'aretz deshe esev mazriya zera eitz pri oseh pri. What's eitz pri oseh pri? It's a tree that it's the Gemara learns that it's tam of the eitz and the tam of the tree are the same. L'mino, according to its species, azer zarba al eretz, and that's the way of the world, v'yichen, and that's how it should have been. But so the commandment was, let me check I've quoted the right pasuk to you. Yeah, that's right. So Hashem commanded the word, it's pre-ose pre. But when the ground brought forth the tree, it didn't produce it like that. V'totzi aretz deshe, esev mazriya zera, l'mino, v'etz ose pre, and a tree that carried fruit. So the Esrog was the only one. The world was commanded to bring forth trees, that the trees had the taste of the fruit, and the same, they were both Shavit. And the world didn't do that. The earth brought through a tree that bore fruit. The Esrog was the only one that had the taste together. And so we see, therefore, the Esrog listened to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It did exactly as it was commanded. And therefore, we're reminded, the Musa is reminded from us, from that, when the Esrog was created, this Midrash is telling us, the Kafan Chem, creates a dark, take beyond a Rishon the Cheshbon Avonos. You're reminded we should too listen to a Kodesh Baruch Hu and do it exactly as we're commanded. So that's one explanation for why we have Peres HaIlan, rather Rosh Hashanah the Ilan, singular, for the Esrog tree. Now there's another explanation. There's a famous Gemara in Tainus that says, Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, Lo hayu yom tov in Yisrael, there were not yom tov days, like for Yisrael, Kamesh Asar Ba'av, like the 15th of Av, Yom Kippur, and like Yom Kippur. That on those days, the Benos Yisrael, they used to go out to the Kramim, to the vineyards, they used to dance, they used to call out to the Bochim, put their eyes on them. It's a day that's auspicious for Shidduchim, Yom Kippur, Tu Ba'av, they're the days today, still auspicious for Shidduchim. That's the Mishnah in Tainus. Now, the Benos Asker on that says, hold on a second, I understand that Yom Kippur is a day that's good for Shidduchim, I understand it's a day of Simcha, I understand that this behavior happens on Yom Kippur, but not on Tu Ba'av. Why does he understand that that happens on Yom Kippur? Because Yom Kippur, what happened? Matan Torah was in Shavuos, Moshe Rabbeinu goes up Har Sinai, he comes down Har Sinai 40 days later, there's the Egel HaZahav, Shavuos HaBetamuz, he breaks the Luchos, there's another 40-day period where he's down amongst Bnei Israel, then he goes back up to Shemayim, and he comes back down with the second Luchos. So when he goes back up, it's Rosh Chodesh Elul, when he comes back down, it's 40 days later, it's on Yom Kippur, so therefore we see that Yom Kippur is like also like a day, like a chasana. In fact, Chazal tells us that when Moshe Rabbeinu broke the tablets, it's like as if he made Klal Yisrael a penuya again, from the first wedding. Now, so we have Matan Torah, we have Yom Kippur, the second Luchos, so that's a day of Simcha, a day of where there's a connection between the Kodesh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael, and therefore also we're going to see that's Meshadach HaBanot HaBanim, the girls and the boys, that's a good day of suspicious, for the same way that Klal Yisrael are wedded to a Kodesh Baruch Hu, so too it's a good day for dating and for this behaviour from the girls. So that's great for Yom Kippur. What about Tu B'Av? How does that come into it? Well, so let's think for a second. What's Tu B'Av? Where does that fall? Right, so we know that Rosh Hashanah for the year, right? There's a Machlokas when the world was created, Machlokas Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yeshua was the world created, and Tishrei was the world created in Nisan. Let's say the world was created in Tishrei for a second, Rabbi Elazar. But the world was created in Tishrei. So the world was created on Tishrei. Now we know that when we talk about Rosh Hashanah, that's the day of Briyas Adam, right? Which is really the sixth day of creation. And 5 days before that, that's the sixth day, so 5 days before that, is when there's the beginning of Bereshis, the beginning of creation, that's on the 25th of Elul. We also know, so that's the creation, the Bria. We also know the Gemara, famous Gemara, in Nida, I think it is, that sits and says that 40 days before an Ubar is formed, it's called out, it's cried out Shemayim, who this child is going to end up getting married to, who their Zivug is going to be. We count 40 days before the 25th of Elul, it takes us back, we're going to get to Tu B'Av. That 40 days is therefore the day that's called out, hold on a second, that the creation, the Bria, the Melech is creating the world, the purpose of the creation is going to get married to a Kodesh Baruch Hu, so 40 days before then, that's called out in the decree then, is going to be for Klal Yisrael, Mershem, that's going to go and get married to a Kodesh Baruch Hu, so that's a day that's also auspicious for Shidduchim. So that's where Tu B'Av falls into it, and that's why this behaviour happens in Tu B'Av. Let's just rewind a little bit, I think, a second. We said it was a Machlokas when the world was created. The world was created, was it Rosh Chodesh Tishrei or was it Rosh Chodesh Nisan? According to Rabbi Yeshua, it was Rosh Chodesh Nisan. If we sit and we do that same process, that the world was created in Rosh Chodesh Nisan, we count 5 days before then we're going to end up Chafei Adar. If we count 40 days before that, that's going to take us out in Tu B'Shvat, which is the parallel, sort of, Kabbalah. So this idea, there's definitely, we see the Maharsha, I think it is, maybe even Tosfos, talk about the fact that the world was created in Nisan, Tishrei. It's like Chad Machshava, Chad Maisa, that Nisan is Machshava, Tishrei is Maisa. So therefore also we're going to see that there's a parallel between the two dates, and therefore also Tu B'Shvat is going to have that Simcha to it. And that Simcha, we talk about the Seraph going up in the Ilanot, it's a very special day there for the trees, for the fruit-bearing trees, and that's the special nature of Tu B'Shvat. Okay, so now, so far, so good. Let's ask a question. What did Hashem create, ask to be created? Hashem asked to be created a tree that had the taste, the fruit, and the tree the same. It was created a fruit tree. Right, has anyone heard of Perek Shira? Right, it's difficult to tell who's with me here or not with the Zoom. Right, Perek Shira is a very interesting compilation of, there's a discussion, was it compiled by David HaMelech, was it compiled by Shlomo HaMelech, was it compiled by the Tanaim? It basically takes different elements of creation and it associates a posuk, usually a posuk, sometimes a Maamar Chazal, which therefore certainly hints that it was maybe a number of different people who compiled it, and it attributes to that element of creation a posuk or a Maamar Chazal, a praise of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. It was, as I say, the earliest recording of it, written recording of it, is from the Midrash Yachid Shmoni in last week's Parsha and Parsha's Bo, where it talks about the dogs, and the song of the dogs is quoted. So we see it clearly existed in some form in the time of the Midrashim. It was so part of creation. Clearly, it talks about trees, right? And the song of the trees, right? Ilanot shavasadi amrim. What do they say? And if you're looking for the text of Perek Shira, it's in the beginning of many Sidurim. Many Sidurim has the whole text there. Right, Ilanosh Vesadi Omrim, Az Yuranunu Atsiyar, then they will sing the trees of the forest, Melifnei Hashem, Kibod Lishpot Hatarets, because Hashem comes to judge the world. And there are many different Mefarshim that come and explain it. I'd like to share the Perish here of the Kenneth Renanim, which was written Be'erech 180 years ago. And he says like this, what does Hashem ask to be created? He asks, right, Hashem has to be created Eitz Pri Osa Pri, a tree with a fruit and the tam together. Or Eitz Osa Pri, he asks for a fruit-bearing tree. Where do you see any mention of non-fruit-bearing trees? Go and read the Pesukim. There's no mention of non-fruit-bearing trees. They shouldn't be there. Right? But we see the world is full of non-fruit-bearing trees. Right? The Pesuk says, they were created as fruit-bearing trees. So where did the non-fruit-bearing trees come from? There's a midrash, Bereishis Rabbah, that says Eitz Osa Pri, the earth came forth with Eitz Osa Pri. Melamed she'af ilanani sarek asuperos, that even the barren trees, they made fruit. Hold on a second. Mashma that in creation, at the time of Bias Olam, all the trees bore fruit. We ask the question, where are the non-fruit-bearing trees? Answers the midrash. There weren't non-fruit-bearing trees. All the trees bore fruit. That's the mashmas of the pasuk. There wasn't such a thing as a non-fruit-bearing tree. For Yehi Chen, the pasuk says, and it was so. That's the way they were all created. So what happened? What changed? Ah, Chet Adam HaRishon comes along. Chet Adam HaRishon, right? Adam and Chava eat me'etz adas, right? And what happens is a punishment, right? He said the ground's going to bring forth coats for dardar tatzmiach lach, that coats, thorns, and thistles are going to sprout forth for you. And his pshat is that what happens, that's a knui, a nickname for the ilanot that don't have fruit, i.e., there were trees that lost their ability to bear fruit. Why don't we know nowadays what the Eitz Hadas is? Right? Which fruit is it? Because that tree no longer can bear fruit. It doesn't have fruit just now. It lost that ability after the Chet. Right? In the same way, why would it do such a thing? We see that if there's an animal, if a man commits an avera with an animal, right? You stone the animal. Chazal asks, why do you stone the animal? Right? And the answer, because you don't have a situation that people see this animal walking down the street and saying, hold on, that's the animal that such and such did an avera with, and he got stoned, he got punished, he got killed because of the avera he did with the animal. And so in order for that embarrassment not to happen, we kill the animal as well. In order for us not to be embarrassed, to embarrass the Eitz Hadas, this is the tree that caused the world to be in the mass of its sin, therefore it's lost its ability to bear fruit. Other trees? Why do other trees, some trees do bear fruit, and some trees don't bear fruit? He answers it's all to do with proximity. It's all to do with the trees that were near the Eitz Hadas, they were caught in that curse, and therefore they lost their ability to bear fruit. And the trees that were further away from it, they retained their ability to bear fruit, and that's the fruit-bearing trees that we see today in the world. He brings a proof for that from Sota. When we're sitting and you're seeing, the Gemara asks, Lama hikdim yerech lebeten, why is it the yerech of the woman gets the punishment before the beten? Why... when she drinks the mesota, if she's done an avera and she explodes, that's how it happens. Why? The fishuhu nehena mina avera tchila, because it, she bent that part of the body benefited from the avera first. So too, that's why those trees that are near the Eitz Hadas, they're the ones that lost the ability to bear fruit. Ah, so hold on a second. So now we see that they were created as fruit-bearing trees. They no longer bear fruit because of the sin. What's our tafkid in the world? Our tafkid in the world is from the tafkid and the chet. Right? We've got to come, we've got to sit, we've got to fulfill mitzvahs. And not just us, all of Klal Yisrael, all the world's got to go and, you know, say an Aleinu. They're all going to come and recognize Hashem. Future, you know, Tilava, a Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to come and he's going to judge the world. And that's really what the song of the Shira says. What does the song of the Shira say? Oz Yiran and Nuatzi are. In the future, then they're going to sing Lifnei Hashem, Kibolish Bota Ataras. Because then Hashem's coming to judge the world. And at that point, Tilava, then the trees also are going to bear fruit. The trees that are barren, that are non-fruit-bearing trees now, they are going to become fruit-bearing trees. They're going to become fruit-bearing trees again, and their world's going to be back the way it was in Bria'as Olam. Ah, so what's the Musa for us? Simply like this. What we see clearly is that we're coming up to Tu B'Shvat, the trees are the barometer of the world. When everyone is doing that they're meant to be doing, Hashem's going to come, he's going to judge the world again. It's going to be La'atid Lavo. We're going to have, even the barren trees are going to become fruit-bearing trees again. So the trees are the barometer of the world. The question we have to ask ourselves is, hold on a second, if the trees are the barometer of the world, what does that tell us about the state of the world today? And what are we going to do about it?